Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
They asked me how I knew my true love was true. Cannot be denied.
He's a medical professional, an orthopedic surgeon, former Army officer, Vietnam veteran, CEO of a large company, and now a great contributor to global peace and global goodwill and global health by some of the things that he's doing with his organization, Cure International. He's our new friend, Dr. Scott Harrison. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Do you remember that song?
Yes. It took me back a few years.
A few years, huh? It's good to have you here, Scott. But first, let me say thank you for the dedication that you've shown in your life as a man of medicine, for your service to our country in the military, but also what you're doing now with your organization, Cure International. I want to thank you on behalf of a lot of folks that you've helped who maybe don't even know your name. I want to thank you for that.
Oh, quite welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Harrison, talk to us about, you were the CEO of Kirshner Medical Corporation, which was a $100 million medical company. You were the CEO of that group. And I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about some of the things you learned. For a couple of minutes, tell us about some of the things you learned in that assignment that you think would be beneficial to my small business audience.
Well, it may sound strange to them to think that a practicing orthopedic surgeon would be offered that position. And frankly, from my side of this, it was even more surprising that I accepted it. I had gotten involved in business almost incidentally when I was first in my medical practice. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and it was that sort of led me into where I ultimately have ended up. But I almost have to make any sense out of this, even go back further. My father had a small business. He ran a small store that sold fish and chickens.
Wow.
And I started doing that work when I was old enough to stand at the counter, and my grandmother was teaching me how to make change. So
what a great story.
I didn't think I'd go from change to $100 million, but you never know how life's going to go for you.
Exactly.
But working my way through college, I worked for a bank, and so I always had this business aspect of my life, which I just sort of accepted as a natural thing. It was only later that I found out that doctors aren't supposed to be able to balance their own checking account.
You didn't realize you were the abnormal one, did you?
That's right. Back in the 70s, when I was still a very active practicing orthopedic surgeon, another fellow and myself started an organization which built the first network of for-profit rehab hospitals in the country. That was back in the late 70s and early 80s. And although we started it as partners, we eventually got venture capital funding and did a lot of other things that were necessary to turn that into a public company. And I was very fortunate that the man that I had agreed to partner with turned out to be truly a financial genius, and he has built other companies since that time. But it was like me going to school on how to do business. It was business 101, from starting with one hospital and building it up to a network, which eventually we sold as a public company. So I did have that background, which caused me to remain interested at some level, often at a board level, in business. And when being on the board of this company we referred to, which was Kirshner Medical, I recognized we had a company that was not doing well at all. In fact, we were well on our way to bankruptcy. And I think the reason I was chosen was not so much as a great compliment to me, as much as we couldn't find competent people who would be willing to come in and take over the company. And I think that was probably the first lesson that was clear to me, was that my first job was to convince the people that worked there that we were going to be a going business. that we we were one of Baltimore's larger employers, and it seemed like once a week at least or more, we were in the paper someplace about going bankrupt. And so it's key to get the buy-in of the employees, no matter what the size of the company is, and give them an ownership that you're going to make it, and that in our case, it became somewhat of a bunker mentality, a Sunday afternoon sports mentality, if you think about the way the football teams band together. And I think, although you'd think perhaps the dollars and cents part of it would be the most important, I think, frankly, getting the team to buy into the fact that pulling together, we're going to be able to do this. And part of that became sacrifice. I froze the salaries of all the employees, cut the salaries of my senior executives 10%, and before I took my own first paycheck, I'd cut my own salary 25%, so that it sent the message to everybody that this was going to be tough, but also sending the message that we were going to make it.
You practiced what you preached, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's the key. And also, something you said there that I think is important, if you're going to be a leader, you got to be able to get people to follow you.
Yes, and for everybody it's different. I don't think there's a single thing. You rely on whatever your own traits are, and with that you can, I think, if you're honest about it and believe that in fact you're going to do it, I don't think you can do it just because you've read it in a book and know that it has that it's a good thing to do. I think you have to truly believe in it yourself, and then you can get others to believe in it.
And then you rolled Kirchner into a public company, and you gave you the opportunity and the funds to follow your dream, which was to deliver medical treatment to children all around the world. You created Cure International. Tell us about that.
Well, shortly after we built our first company, which, as I said, was the late 70s, early 80s, I realized that I now had the finances to do what I wanted, and what I wanted to do was to continue to be an orthopedic surgeon. I loved caring for patients. I loved doing spine surgery, which was my main interest. And so my wife and I began going into the third world to practice that. I was invited to teach in countries in Africa, and I would come back very energized, thinking, gosh, I had done more good in a month in Africa than I had done all last year in the United States, because we have so much medical care, and there's so many access to good doctors here that you really, you're happy to do it in the United States, and it is important, every patient's important, but when you realize if you don't do it, no one else will, and that's what happens in Africa and some of the other places we're now working.
Dr. Harrison, we got to take a quick break. Give us your website quickly, please.
It's very simple, cureinternational.org.
Cureinternational.org. Quick break. We'll be right back with Dr. Scott Harrison. More to come after these messages. Stay with us.
Surprise.
Back at 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, having a great visit with our new friend, Dr. Scott Harrison, and he's the founder of Cure International, C-U-R-E International, and that's cureinternational.org is the website, and I really encourage you folks to check it out because this man and his wife and his organization is doing some very incredible things, which he's going to tell you about in a second. But, Scott, I'd like for you to tell us what we'll find when we get to your website.
Pardon me?
What will we find when we get to your website?
Well, I think there's a whole series of things, but I think for your listeners, one of the things that will be most important and most interesting, there are a lot of stories about the children we care for. Our organization has built hospitals for children, and we focus on children who are disabled because the rest of the world seems to have forgotten them. And so you'll get to know us best by seeing what we do for the various children in the world. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, so we do lots of surgery for children whose backs are crooked or who can't walk, and we're blessed many times as they are by us seeing them walk again. We also have a very extensive program to care for children who have maxillofacial problems, such as cleft lips and palates, and many of those are pictured on our website. So they'll find it quite interesting and get to the real substance of what we do.
Well, Dr. Harrison, as I mentioned to you off the air, I wanted you on the show anyway because of what you were doing. I wanted my audience to hear about this. not only the humanitarian part of this, folks. This is a very entrepreneurial story that what Scott and his organization has done. But I, as I mentioned to you off the air, I was born with a cleft palate, and so when I saw the faces of the kids that you, the children that you helped around the world, it sure pulled at my heartstring. And so for all of those kids, I thank you for what you're doing. How many hospitals have you opened around the world?
We are in 7 different countries now, and in a few weeks now, we'll open our 8th hospital in Kabul, Afghanistan.
Wow.
Actually, the government has asked us to take over and privatize the main and only children's hospital in the country. It cares for about 180,000 children a year there. And interestingly, they have recognized, through the help of some leadership in our government, that to make this hospital a viable hospital, they have to privatize it. They realize the government can't do everything, can't do that, and so they've looked around for somebody who can do it. And we've been working in the southern part of Afghanistan for the last 2.5 years in Kandahar. And so we have a track record with them, and they asked us if we would do that, and we expect to start that by the first of the year at the latest.
Where does the funding for your hospitals come from?
Well, we have been able to get our story out to people who have the ability to donate to us. We have someone who sends us 40 cents a week, and we have people who have given us 7-figure gifts. So
that's our
primary area of funding.
If we would like to contribute, can we do that on the website?
Yes, there is like you'll find on many websites, an icon that you can click on that gets you right into
and
to do
would
that.
It take our credit card?
Yes, it will.
All right, so we can do that, or it'll give us an address where we can send them information, and I'm sure you've got people that will contact. If somebody wanted to make a regular donation, you've got people who will contact them about that, don't you?
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, and folks, I encourage you to check it out and see if this is something that you feel strongly about. And I predict, though, that if you go to the website and you see the stories that Scott and his people have made available there, and these are real stories where the need was there, and they came in there and delivered the relief and the medicine and the skills to fix these children. I'm going to warn you. Your heart's going to be pulled that way, and I hope that when it is, that so will your money. Scott, what would you like to tell my audience right now about what you're doing in terms of a worldview?
Well, what has fascinated me about this is my wife and I go around the world.
Would you tell us your wife's name, please?
Her name is Sally.
Sally. Well, we want to be able to. I wanted my audience to have a name because you know a lot of times they say prayers for people, and I wanted them to have her name too.
Well, she has been with me. She's the co-founder with me, and we have done every step of this together. It's been absolutely impossible for me to do it without her. Her advice and companionship, and just the strength that she brings to what we're trying to do. We, like in the good marriages that all your listeners have, or most of them hopefully do, it's complementary, and we're able to work together that way.
Congratulations. Well, from a worldview, what would you like to tell us?
Well, we are more and more finding people from around the world who come and join us. We have doctors from different countries now, England, Pakistan, India, of course, America, many doctors. We're getting people from the Philippines, Korea. The world, globalization is a bad word in some ways, but in other words, it, I think, is how the world is going to come together, and we're all going to prosper and get health care and get better standards of living, because we find that there are many people around the world that we don't know about who are anxious to help, especially if we can give them some of the leadership necessary to point the way.
Dr. Scott Harrison, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We got to wrap it up, Scott, but before we go, I want to say that I want to invite you back on the show and to talk about this some more. I want to talk a little bit more about the entrepreneurial aspect of this now that we've introduced you to my audience. The website is cureinternational.org. Folks, please check it out, and if you feel led, please send a contribution to them. Dr. Harrison, thank you for being here, and congratulations on your great work.
Thank you, Jim. It's been a pleasure talking with you and your
audience. We'll see you next time. Quick break, right back with Rich Galen, 29 After. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.